I'm here in Talla and I'm talking to Bernie and Edith Myers, but not originally from this area. Edith, you're from Wexford, aren't you?
Wexford, yes.
And where were you born?
Where was I born? In
Buncloddy.
Buncloddy.
In Buncloddy.
Yes.
Edith, could you tell me, your maiden name is Roberts?
Roberts, or was.
Yeah, and was there quite a number of Roberts from the area that you came from? I mean,
well, Roberts lived, more Roberts lived just the house. You could see it from our house. So they were there, Edwin Roberts and Charlotte Roberts.
Any idea where you came from?
Pardon?
How far back can you trace your own family?
Plunkett was your mother's name.
Your mother's name was Plunkett.
Yeah. And they lived up a place my I used to walk after school. I thought I'd never get to it.
Yeah.
There was Willie Plunkett of Clonegall. Was my uncle. And who else is there? It's so long since I was down there now and that.
What was your father's name?
Thomas.
And what was his father's name?
Whose?
Your father's father's name.
Oh, Thomas was it? As well?
Your grandfather.
Grandfather, I think Thomas as well.
Yeah. And were they in the same area? Did they own the same land there?
Yeah, they did. They all lived together.
Yeah. So the house that you were brought up in was an ancestral home. It was the home of your grandfather, was it?
It would, yeah.
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 No, he had three war graves in Talla churchyard, and he came about, he was from, I think he was from the Board of Works, because they have the responsibility of minding them, seemingly, and he wanted me to mind them, to look after the graves, like, and just to cut the grass on them and that sort of thing. So he come in, and I thought he looked like my father coming in, you see, because we all walk with our backsides out, sort of, as my father said, we were set for the hills. But we talked anyhow, and he said to me about the war graves. I was new in town at the time, about the war graves, and I said, I don't know anything about them. And he said, well, someone is getting paid to mind them, he says, and they're not being minded. And I said, well, the thing to do then, I said, is go to whoever you're paying, I said, and ask them. Because I said, I don't know anything about them. I'm only new here, so. He went off anyhow, and he came back in a few minutes, and he said, would you mind them if you were paid? And I said, I would. He says, how much would you charge me? And just to cut the grass a couple of times a year, he said. And I said, 10 shins each. That'd be 30 shins for the three of them for the year, like.
Yeah.
And he came back anyhow, and he said, I'll give you 27, he says. And I said, fair enough. So I looked after him for 2 or 3 years, but he got a great big farm to fill in, to apply for the money. So I gave it up. I said, it's not worth the bother. But he was the picture of my father, and it turned out his name was Myers, and he was from Limerick.
Well, no, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The connection.
Yeah, when I asked, I said to him, say, what's your name? And he said, it's Myers. He said, mine is Myers too. He said, there's a lot of them down around Limerick.
Yeah. And what about, who do you look like or come after?
I think I look more like my mother, actually, than my father.
Yeah.
But mother was a Wexford woman as well.
And what was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Gaffney. Somewhere around, I'm not sure exactly where she came from. Somewhere near Carnew, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Have you any idea when your own people settled on the Wicklow Hills?
My grandfather came. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea the dates.
Have you?
He bought the farm from people called Davises.
Mm-hmm.
And he started up the forge there. But he came first to a place called Money, Money, which is near Ahoul. So you can actually see it from Ahoul. And he came there, I think, as a blacksmith for a big estate. And then he bought a howl and went on his own.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about yourself, Benny?
I was born in a place called Ag Hold in County Wicklow. It's between Shillelagh and Tulla. And its original name was A Howl, A-G-H-O-W-L-E. And it meant, originally it was A Oola, the field of the apples.
And were you born into a farming
father,
background?
My father was a blacksmith and a farmer.
Was he indeed?
He was.
And did he have his blacksmith place?
Forged, beside the house.
Right beside the house?
Well, in the yard, like.
Yeah. And how... Do you remember him working away?
Shoeing horses, and in fact, I've turned shoes myself, but I never fit them actually on the horse. But I have turned made shoes, horse shoes.
You
buy them all ready made now, of course. But
they
call it turning shoes.
Yeah.
They used to buy plain iron at that time. It was just plain strip of iron, and you had to put a little track around it to call it fullered and with a chisel, and then you put the holes for the nails, and you did all that, like, it had all to be made, like.
Yeah. And was it a very busy time during the war years now?
There was a lot of horses then, but then the horse was done away with, more or less, and of course the blacksmith does everything. He doesn't just do horses, he mends machinery and farm machinery and all that sort of thing.
Make gates?
Do everything.
Yeah.
You see, a farrier only shoes horses, but a blacksmith does all every kind of work.
Yeah, yeah.
He meant harrows and bits for ploughs and everything.
And did people come from all over to him?
They would, yeah. He'd be busy enough. In fact, in my grandfather's time, my grandfather was a blacksmith too, and my great-grandfather too. They were all blacksmiths.
So the Myers were, in tradition, go way back. In Wicklow?
Well, originally, the first of them came to Our Howl from Wexford, down somewhere near Camolin, I think. Hmm. He was my great-grandfather. He was Nicholas Myers. Then my grandfather was John Myers, and my father was William Myers.
I see. All
blacksmiths. And my grandfather's two brothers were blacksmiths as well, and one went to Canada and the other went to America. And a relation of the Canadian part, his name is not Myers now, but he came to see my brother some years ago. So they're there still somewhere.
And of course, like you said, the blacksmithing business started to die out, really, didn't it?
It did. Horse end. And then the welding as well came in, you know, the electric welding. So, you see, my father had welded with the fire, and he'd redden two pieces of iron until they were nearly burning, and they'd stick together, like, you know. But now the electric welding done away with all that sort of stuff, you see.
Yeah, yeah. Edith, what about yourself? What kind of background do you come from?
Born in Hass, Bunclody.
Farmer.
Were they farmers?
Yes. Yeah. I used to sow the potatoes, Praskeen.
Did you?
I did.
And
my brother, like, you know, he made the drills and got them ready, and I got me Praskeen, that's what they called them. Filled it up with potatoes. They used to be cut up, though.
Yeah.
Some of them, you know, they were too big, and go from, you know, sowing them.
Okay, it was all done by hand, wasn't
all
it?
All done just by hand, yeah, yeah, and the horse.
Yeah. And when it came to the harvest then, would you go out and pick them up again, or, you know, when it was ready for harvesting?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Used to go to town, pony and car, you know, and there was a quarry. Right up, we used to have to nearly down up the hill to town.
Okay, so there was a big climb. To bring the horse and car up.
That
was Slate Quarry.
So we used to go visit.
And the quarry that was in use
way up high.
Yeah.
And we used to go out across it to a friend's house. She knew us, you see. So we used to go out and visit her.
All right. But your father didn't actually work in the quarry, did he?
Oh, no.
No. Or did any of your people around
no,
there?
No, we're farmers.
Yeah.
And I saw the potatoes from me practically
yeah.
and
yeah. Are we
done sheaves and all like that.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you go to school? Did you go to school locally?
Barnahask.
Yeah. And did you...
Way up.
Walk
again,
long
walk
distance. Yeah,
up
yeah.
to it. Yeah. Sometimes we'd cross down a field, you see. We used to know some friends. And we'd cross down the fields to get home. Or out of that, if we weren't in school, we could go over the lane to it.
Yeah.
You know?
But your upbringing was real... country,
yeah.
out in the country, walking through fields.
Yes,
and,
picking blackberries and all sorts.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to...
And the sheaves, tying the sheaves. Yeah. I used to do that.
You don't yeah. remember that, of course.
No, I don't. But moving all the way from there to Talla today, the way it is, you
yeah.
must find...
Well, there was a big difference, but you get used to it.
Yeah.
Once the family started coming, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to forget about what you did.
Yeah.
You know.
And Bernie...
This, of course, was all farmland when we moved into it.
Yeah.
Where this is now was all farmland. Old McGrain had bees where the... had hives of bees where the square is now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to talk to you about that in more details soon. But tell me about your own life first. You emigrated to England for a while.
Oh yeah. Well, I came to Dublin to live with an aunt, but we didn't get on, and I'd go home on holidays and wouldn't come back, and that sort of thing. That went on for a few years, and then my uncle died here in Dublin, and. She asked me, would I come back? I was about 17 or 18 at that time. And my first job was in the gardens in Colatin, in Lord Fitzwilliam's estate. There was a garden there and seven gardeners in it. And I went to work there when I was 14. And I went from that then to work in the big house. And I've done everything in the big house, from scrubbing floors to shining brasses and cleaning windows and... boiler, looking after the boiler, even waiting on table. But eventually then I left that and went home for a year because my brother was sick.
Colatin House.
Yeah, it's there still. It's a golf course now, I think.
Yeah, but you remember working for the...
Lord Fitzwilliam, yeah.
Lord
He was killed in a plane crash.
Yeah.
And whoever came after him seemingly hadn't a lot of money, so the place went down and eventually sold.
Yeah.
And it's all divided up now.
What was Lord Fitzwilliam like? Did,
very nice, yeah.
Did he talk to you many times?
Not much, no. You wouldn't... although I waited on him at table and that and went up and called him in the morning and all that sort of thing. But you'd never get into a conversation much with him.
Mm-hmm. And was there a big staff working in the house at the moment at that
well,
time?
Well, there was four girls and a cook.
Did you enjoy that time?
Looking back, I did, and you know, I learned a lot. It never left me. Like, you pick up things that's useful to you all your life at them sort of jobs.
Yeah.
I still do a bit of gardening for when now and again, like.
Yeah.
But I've always done, even when I came to Talla first, I did gardening. But I came as sexton to Talla Church below.
Yeah.
To send my runes.
But when you left Lord Fitzwilliam's place.
Yeah.
You went back down then, you went home again.
I went home for a year. And then I went to work in a house called Ra, we call it Ra House, but it's a Ra TH Rat House. And I went there for a year or so. And then I came to Dublin here and I went delivering milk in that around Tarn Yord, not Rat Farnham, for my uncle. That owned the land where my house is now. He had a dairy yard in Tarn Yore, called Mountain View Dairy.
Yeah.
And but his land was here in Talla.
Yeah.
Then the county council took the field off of him, and he went to court over it because the only land he had, and they allowed him keep half of the field. and the half of the fee in the court case cost him what he got, for the other half. So, and then they came and took the rest of it. So he said, if you're taking that, the rest is no use to me, take it all.
Imagine.
So yeah, they took it all.
And I did, in Ra's house, it was Colonel Porter, wasn't it?
Colonel Porter, yeah.
Now, was it a recommendation you got from working with...
No, my brother-in-law was the farm manager in it. And he said there might be a job going, so I went and applied for it and got it. I did everything there again. I did the grounds, the garden, like, not the vegetable garden, but the flowers and all that. And you see the bit in Culleton had sort of helped me there. And he made his own electricity, and I looked after the plant for making the electricity and the engine that...
the generator.
And big room full of batteries and all that. And I did everything, looked after the cars, and did be a housework as well in it.
Yeah. Oh, with all that great work going on, why did you immigrate to England then? Was it just excitement?
As I say, when I came to Dublin then... I came back to live with Aunt because her husband had died, but we never got on, you see.
Oh, I see.
So, I used to go to my uncle's in Terranure to work, you see, and he'd send me up to Ballycra here in Talla on the Forehouse Road, where my cousin had a farm. And, you see, that went on for a good while, and then my cousin said, don't go to Terranure anymore, come straight here, because I was always sent there in any case. So I went there and I worked there for a year or so, and then I decided I'd go back home because I didn't get on with my aunt. And I said to my cousin, Sonny Kenny, I said, I'm going home. I said, see, what do you want to go home for? And I said, I don't get on with aunt. He said, sure, there's a room here. He says, you can have it. See, come and stay as long as you like. And you know, it was home from home because Bessie, his wife was lovely. She only died here lately. But I was there 14 years.
And where was that now?
That was, it's the only house actually in Ballycra. And it's, do you know Killinini Cottages?
Yes.
On the Forehouse Road?
Yes.
Well, there's the row of Killinini Cottages. Then there's two by themselves beside the school, the new school that's there. And his house was in between the two. There's a road goes in there, goes across to Ballycullen. But you see... Ballycra is actually over Ballycullen direction.
Yeah.
But it came to a point there, and his house was the only house that was in Ballycra on that road, because only the yard was in it.
Yes.
You see, because it came to a point like at the road.
Yeah. Imagine.
He was Ballycra.
And
that was Sonny Kenny now. He was my first cousin.
How long did you spend there?
I was 14 years there.
And what were you doing exactly?
Well, at first I was, as I said, delivering milk, because I used to, you see, my uncle in town, you know, all worked together, like.
Your uncle then, what was his name?
Simon Kenny.
So he ran the business?
He ran the business.
And you worked for him?
I worked, no, actually, I worked for his son, Sonny Kenny.
And was it a good business? Was there a lot, a good milk round?
There was, yeah. I started, I did all down Temple Oak and Rathvarnham and Ratgar and all down there. And then I'd deliver about, that was loose milk, of course, which is about can and a measure. And then...
There was I know, it was straight out. There was no bottles, was there?
No bottles at that time. Well, the horses bottled milk at that time, but the loose milk was still going. And you had to deliver twice a day because loose, at that time, it wasn't pasteurised or anything. And as it goes sour, like. But... I did that, and then he gave up the milk round, and I went to work on the land, and I milked cows. I didn't milk cows at first, I went to work on the land, but then gradually the two fellas that used to milk the cows, they gave up, and I started then. I used to milk 30 cows morning and evening.
Was that by hand?
No,
machine at that stage?
Milking machines,
must have
yeah.
just come in?
Oh, that's all, yeah. He got it when I was there, and that's how you see the other lads wouldn't work the machine.
What year was that now?
Oh, that would have been about 19, probably 50 or thereabouts.
In the 50s anyway.
Yeah.
And were they were lean years?
They were lean years, but well, I was all right. Of course, I was working for £2 a week, But I lived in the house and was fed and all.
But so that meant you didn't need to spend too much.
No, well, I didn't need much money either. Because I was single, I hadn't got a wife to keep at that time.
Yeah, but did you have to send money home, or did
I never sent money home. I remember when I was working in the gardens in Colatin, and I had only 14 shins a week, and I remember saving up 10 shins and going home to my mother with it. Thought I was doing a great fella, and I gave it to her and I said, "That's for you." And she put it back in my hand. She said, "Ben, honey, look after yourself. Don't mind us." She wouldn't take it.
Go away. Yeah. Now, talk to me about when did you marry Edith? At what stage?
56.
So that must have been still when you were at home before you went away.
I was in Kenny's at that time. I was working in my cousins and living with him at that time.
Yeah. And that was the time that you, after
I,
you
had I left. I went in 52.
Yeah.
And it's after I came back that I got married.
Okay.
I went to England in 52.
Yeah, well, talk to me about that first, though, when you went to England. Why did you go to England?
Another story. I took a notion anyhow and went to England. I went to meet someone, actually. And I went to Liverpool first. And I hit a bad time because there was a cement strike on. I was hoping to get a job, of course, on the buildings or something. And there was a cement strike on, and I couldn't get any work. I went to the Labour and I got a job with a farmer, a place called Fazakerty outside Liverpool, picking potatoes, if you don't mind. But I took it anyhow. And I was supposed to be there for 2 days, and I was there for 3 weeks. But in the meantime, I had signed on because I couldn't get a job. I had signed on for the coal mines.
For the coal mines?
Coal mines. I went up to a place called Maltby then in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I went 5 weeks training, in a training pit,
to learn the trade.
Learn the signals and learn all that sort of stuff. And then I went 3 weeks then up on the top of the pit. The coal all came up and it was spread out on big conveyor belts. And you stood beside it and you picked all the bits of slate and stuff. I spent 3 weeks doing that, and then I was sent down to... That's all part of the training, of course. I went down the pit then, but...
How far down?
It was a mile down, and then I went in 4 miles.
My God.
Yeah.
And did that affect your health?
Not really, no.
And were you in any way claustrophobic? Were you afraid
of
being down so low?
The first time it's an odd feeling. Yes, when you get into the lift, you see and suddenly it drops.
Yeah.
And because they don't be too nice about it, like,
it goes on fast.
And they warn you, of course, beforehand that's what's going to happen.
Was there many Irish there with you?
No Irish on the job I was on. Now, I was only on haulage.
Yeah.
I did work on the coal face a couple of times, but mostly at a weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd be bringing in supplies and or that sort of thing.
How long did you last?
2.5 years.
There.
Then my cousin died over here, you see.
Yeah.
And Bessie asked me, would I come back? So I came back.
Yeah. And otherwise, you'd be still working. You'd be working there for a lot more years anyway.
I would, yeah. You see, you'd be only on haulage. You wouldn't get big money till you'd be with the colliers, the fellas actually digging the coal on the coal face. Now, the coal face was nearly as high as that, a seam,
High as the wall here?
7 foot.
Was it?
Seams, yeah. In Castlecomer, they're only about 18 inches, I think. They must be terrible hard to dig coal out of. It's anthracite, of course. It's a special sort of coal in Castlecomer.
Yeah. And working with all the other lads?
They were lovely lads to work with, the Yorkshire fellas. The Yorkshire fellas, they're supposed to be like the Scotchman mean, but they're not. It's just a name they get, Like the Kerry man being foolish.
Got on with them anyway.
Oh, I got on great with him, yeah. And the Yorkshire people, the Yorkshire fellas have a saying, if they want to do out for an out, do it for dissent. They have a queer way of talking, If that means if you want to do anything for nothing, do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And they were very nice. And I had a grand landlady, it was like being at home.
Yeah. Yeah. But you were still very young, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Well, I was over, I don't know what.
That was in the middle of the 50s.
I was born in, yeah. I was born in 27.
Yeah.
And I was 50, that was 52.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't that young. Like,
no,
you were,
I was getting long in the tooth.
You were. Well, when you came back then, you settled down and you married Edith.
Yeah.
Where did you meet?
Well, her brother worked in Hughes's Dairy, you see. He didn't actually work in Hughes's Dairy. He worked for a relation of his out in Lucan. He used to collect milk churns with a big articulated truck. And I had a motorbike, you see. And we used to go down to... I used to drop him at his house. And then I'd go to my own house, because my own house is only about 6 or 7 miles this side of his house, where she was reared.
Oh, no. No, and where were you when you came up here? Where were you reared, did you say?
Barnahask, Buntlody.
Yeah, wait a minute now. You. How often would you go down then?
Oh, every Sunday.
Would you?
Oh, and come back sometimes and milk 30 cows and go down again.
Yeah. So there was
I wouldn't go to her house. I'd go to my own house mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And come down to...
Yeah, to in Buntlody. Yeah. Yeah, and at what? So, how many? Do you decided to get married after a number of years? Did you?
We did.
Think so.
And that's how.
I'm not good at this.
When you came up here with Benny.
Yeah.
Where did you settle down?
In Tala.
No.
Was it not?
Yeah. You settled down over. My other cousin over in Woodtown had a gate lodge, and we got the gate lodge, and it was only two rooms.
I don't get these things.
And we got married first. We went into that.
Where was that now? The gate lodge.
That was on a place called Stockton Lane over in.
Oh, yes.
Do you know it?
Not too far away from here at all.
No, not too far. And I used to come to work here then to Bessie, you see.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But then, you see, I was looking for a house. And I had my name down for years for a house, but I never got any. Then the job here as sexton to St. Mary Owen's Church came up, and there was a house with it. House went with the job, you see. And I applied for that and got it.
Oh, and that's why. You were one of the first then to come in, weren't you?
I was 36 years in the church below as sexton, looking after the church and the graveyard as well.
And the house that you got is still the house that you live in today?
No. I retired from that. I was sexton, but I also had a job with the guards here. I did Tala and Rathfarnham as a sort of I'm trying to think what the name they had on me. A service attendant. Glorified yard man, really. And gardening. But I was there, I did about 17 years of that, and I had to retire from that when I was 65.
Well, go back to the time when you were sextant inside in the church here locally. What did that entail? What was your work?
Oh, you had to look after the church, and you had to keep it clean, of course, and the grounds, the graveyard. And you had to sort of get things ready for the clergyman when he come and all that sort of stuff. And attend the services, of course, because at that time it was an old organ that had to be hand blown. You had to pump it. And that was part of my job as well, went to be a service on.
Who were the clergymen you worked under?
First came was Canon Alexander. He lived over on the Belgard Road in Rexy over there. Lovely man.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And in what way now was he?
You could have a chat with him and you could have a laugh with him. And she was lovely too, his wife. We were all Church of Ireland, of course. But she was lovely too. And she'd make faces and all that. Yeah. I remember one time he had a little hedge that he sawed himself, and he always clipped it because it was a special shape, like, you know. Now, I'm fairly good at a hedge, but I could do all the others, but he always did this one himself because he actually sawed it, you see. Until then, he wasn't getting well, he wasn't well, and he said to me one day, maybe you clipped a little hedge for me.
Yeah.
So I was clipping it, and she came out. She says, "Oh, Benny, promotion." Yeah, let me add.
Promotion.
Promotion. The fact that you'd let me clip the hedge.
And Edith, how many children did you bring up there?
Eight.
And did they all survive? And are they?
They did.
Yeah. And yeah. They're all over
twins
the...
Twins on them.
How many? Twins?
Twins. One.
One set of twins.
Yeah. Kathleen and Dorothy. She's married to... Dorothy's married to Andy Ahern, if you know.
Yeah.
Could the you... Pub.
My goodness, yeah. And yeah. In what was it? Was it easy or was it tough going bringing up large
bother,
family?
No bother. Yeah. What do you do for one, you do for the other.
We worked hard.
We did.
And did you also work?
Didn't work.
But you worked hard in the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was hard job.
Family and seeing they were okay and to school and everything.
Yeah.
You know.
And where did they all go to school?
They went in the beginning. They went to school in Rathfarnham.
Yeah.
And then when the girls got bigger, they went to diocesan school on Adelaide Road.
Yeah.
And then that amalgamated with high school below in Ratgar. Mm. And they finished off there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were well looked after.
We've one girl that's sort of an invalid now. Exactly. She was a shorthand typist in the Department of Justice. And she got this aneurysm in her head and operated on her hand. She's no use of anything now, only one hand in her head. She's in a home out at the back of St Mary's, Coonavon.
Yeah.
But we have a van, special van, and they're able to take her out and bring her home and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the eldest one does that.
Yeah. But I suppose, you know, people do have crosses and they bear crosses. And,
yeah.
But you find it manageable that, you know.
So you have to get on with it. You have to make the best of what you get.
Yeah.
And tell me now, the parishioners that went to the Church of Ireland there, in the early days, was there large numbers or?
No, they were never large numbers. And they were mostly farmers or business people at that time. The Boardman's now and the Jollies lived in Kiltadown House up here. Did you know that? And Boardman's lived over on Kiltipper. All the land's all mostly built on now.
Yeah.
And Kiltadown is mostly built on. And there was a good few, mostly business people or that sort of thing. Not, wasn't many working people like myself. Like,
here's the big graves.
Oh yeah, do plenty of graves in my time.
Plenty.
Among other things. Well, you see, churches don't pay you great money as a rule. You usually have to make up money some other way.
Yeah.
But I worked, I did graves and I did garden and I did everything, in fact.
Yeah.
But you make a living. Yeah, I did anything to make a living. I didn't mind what I was doing as long as I was getting paid for it.
And could you tell me how different it was then, you know, you said that there were nothing but green fields and lots of large houses, big estates.
Yeah, yeah. There was only the village, actually. There was only the village and Newtown Park down below. Bancroft, none of that was there. None of this all here was there. There was land here belonged to Boardman. And there was a whole row of cottages where the square is now, called Bathampton Cottages. They're all gone, of course. And there was a two-story house then, just at this end of the square. Tierney's lived in one side of it, and Arthur Jolly's lived in the other side. And then there was a long house at the back of that. People called Bullock. We called them Bullocks, but I believe their proper name was, everybody called them Bullocks. But their proper name was Balachi, I believe.
And did you know these people? You would have known all these people. Yeah.
And then across there was a big farm across there. Fox lived in it. A man called Freddie. They called him Freddie Fox, Frederick, I suppose. Fox lived in it. He was a great man after birds and shooting and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The house has gone too. It's at the back of where Nestle is now over across the road.
And you both watched the town grow slowly and slowly.
All those houses going and new ones coming up.
Well, we brought up our family in the house down at the church owned it.
Yeah. And can you describe it to me, how it's developed over the years?
Well, it started off at our two, the house, mine and the house beside it, were the first two to be built. As I said, that was the Yukon's land that the council took from. And that's on the left, that St. Mary Road's on the left-hand side of Albarn Road now. And I live in number two. Number one and two were the first to be built. And then I think the two opposite, 35 and 36, I think. And then all the back of it gradually spread out. Then they took the boatman on the land in front of us, and they got that, and they built on that, and that sent my rounds too. But we have 36 houses on our side, but then it carries on the right hand side of Albarn, that's sent my rounds as well. Then Bancroft, there was all, gradually it crept out. I won't say like a cancer, which you could nearly see the thing spreading now. Sure, it's out now nearly as far as Saggart.
But do you like the way that it has taken shape?
You can't stop progress. You have to put up with it.
But apart from that, yourself,
I go on well.
The two of you.
Go on well with Tala, and especially the old Tala people. They were lovely people.
Yeah, but
real homely.
It's totally taken over now, isn't it? I mean, everybody living here would be
there were all lots of city people now. A lot of people moved out of the city, you see, out to here.
But the environment and the buildings, would you change it if you could?
I couldn't even if I wanted to, I suppose. But no, well, you can't. You can't go back and say you'd like everything the way it was. Doesn't happen. But they were good.
But would you like to, if it had taken a different shape or been...
Well, I think I'd like it if it hadn't spread so much, hadn't got so big.
Yeah.
You know, if it had been just a town or that. But sure, it's out near, this will spread out as far as Blessington in a few years, I'd say.
It takes getting used to.
And I suppose it does, because it's so high-rise buildings and that you would never have...
You wouldn't have imagined them, like, you know. Now, where Dr. O'Riordan is, there are two big blocks of flats, one on each side of the road. Big high ones like them out there. But that was all Dr. O'Riordan's. That old house is gone too, of course. Yeah. He was a two-story house at the far end of the village street.
Yeah.
But most of the houses in the village now, they're all offices or things like that. You know, there's nobody living hardly in them. About two, I think... There's only about two living in the street now, I think.
And what about the large estates then, which are part of Tala too?
Well, there was Foxes. The Foxes, I say, across the road, that was Freddie Fox. That actually was where that famous war correspondent Russell was reared. You heard of Russell then there was Jolly's at Kiltalown. There was at the back of Albarn there, on the left-hand side, there was a fairly big house Muldoon lived in. There was another big house on the top of the hill about where the lights are now, a big yellow house. People called Fahy's lived in them. They're all gone. There was another one right in front of Ahern's pub. That's gone. There was a little white one then just below that in the hall. It's gone. There was another long white house in front of us on the Albarn Road. And the rest was all fields.
And could you tell me, is there a community spirit within Tala now?
There is, yeah. But
the
in different areas.
Each
area have their own sort of community. Killinarden now would have their own. The around the village here would have their own sort of community. You see, they're all wearing, they're mostly older people, like.
Yeah.
They're not young people like me now. They're more the old Tala people. Actually, one of the men lived just up two doors from us, worked for years for Boodman. Mm-hmm. Boodman was a fairly big farmer. He lived over in Kiltipper. I don't know whether his house is still there or not.
Yeah. And bringing up a family of eight children in Talla, they watched the town grow as well. And did they fit in with the town? Did they enjoy? Were they socialised in the town?
I think so.
People move in and you make friends with people that move. You don't make friends with everybody, but you do make friends and you get on well with them. It's like everywhere else, there's people that you don't get on well with, or you don't, I'd be inclined to stay away from people I don't care for, but you get to know people. And you know, you don't get to know people overnight, it takes a good while.
It does take a while.
When I moved to Talla here first now, I was a long time and I didn't hardly know anybody.
What were you doing with the Garda stations then?
I did everything. I looked after the cells and I looked after the grounds, the garden and the yard and all that, put out the rubbish and that sort of thing.
You would have found, you know, these places, were they busy? You know, were they?
Oh, they were. I did the old Garda station, that's Fannigan's Undertakers now, that was the old Garda station, before they built this new one. The lads in Rathfarnham. Rathfarnham, you see, was the main guard station then. This was the substation, Talla. And then when they built this new place, this became the main station and Rathfarnham became the substation. Because the Rathfarnham lads didn't like it. They used to call this South Fork.
And how did you find the, you know, in your own field, I suppose, the being you were brought up in the Church of Ireland tradition, and did you find that with all the migrants coming in now, that the numbers in the church are actually growing?
It is too, when a lot of few foreign people go down below now.
Sure, you can't stop it.
Yeah. When you look back over all those years that you've lived here now, and you know, I suppose you've seen the good times and the bad times.
Talla has been good to us always. We never had any problem. And
would you leave Talla?
We are.
Talla's our home now.
Yeah.
I know. At our age, you wouldn't be thinking wanting to move.
We have our family reared and we're there to settle down now.
I was 80 last July, sure.
Yeah, imagine.
And I had to leave the guard job when I was 65.
Did you?
Yeah. I give you a laugh about that. I don't know whether you want to record it or not, though. when I see it 65, but I was still working for the church. And I applied, you don't get an old age pension till you're 66. And I applied for what they call a retirement pension, which is the same money as the old age pension, but no benefits with it. And the girl rang me up from Sligo and she says, "I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Moyer," she says, "that you're not entitled to a pension." And I said, "Why not?" She says, "You've only worked 4 weeks in the year for a number of years," she says. "Would that be true?" And I said, "No," she says. "I'm working since I was 14 and I never missed 4 weeks in the year that I wasn't working in my life," I said. And she says, "Have you your P60s? And I had a whole pile of them because I'm a terrible man for keeping papers. She said, "Send me down the last two." So I hadn't actually left the Garda station at that time. So some of the lads below on the station said to me, "Go down to the Labour Exchange," which was down in where the TSB is now, "and ask for so-and-so." So I went down and I asked for him and he went off, you see, and he made phone calls and he came back laughing, you see. And he says, I said, "Say, what's funny?" He says, "I'll tell you what's funny." He says, "You know," he says, "a computer has only two windows for weeks of the year," he says, "because there's only 52 weeks in a year, you see. And they fed into the computer that you worked 52 weeks for the church and 52 weeks for the guards." He says, "And that's 104, and it showed the 04 only." But the poor right hand here, whatever they done, and I don't know how many years that was going on.
You never missed too many days work in your entire life?
No, all my whole life, yeah.
Yeah.
Till I retired altogether. And I still do bits of gardening on and off, like.
Yeah, you have a passion for the garden.
I'm a beekeeper as well. I keep bees.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and you rear them, and have you been doing that for very long?
I've been doing that since about 58, but we always had bees at home in our own house in the country as well, but we knew nothing at all about them. But I more or less learned a bit about them when I got them and to manage them and that.
So you
bees in Kerry too. We were at the Alloway Caves 1 year. And it's a garden centre now, but there was a whole row of beehives there.
Yeah.
Some man had them.
Oh, yeah. It's a great hobby. Yes, to keep
it's only a hobby, of course.
You can't just sit, lie down and die.
You must keep going. Keep going. Well, Benny and Edith Myers, thank you both very much indeed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very welcome, yeah.